Hello, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Wednesday Q&A. I was not here last week. I heard Coach Lizzie did a fantastic job. So I'm super excited to have everybody come on in. Come on in. Come on in. It's journaling month here at No BS. Excited about that. So I'm gonna let give everybody a second to hop on in. I hope everybody is surviving. I know there's bad weather amongst us. And I hope everybody is doing okay. We did have some heavy rain this morning, and then the winds are a coming. The winds are a coming. So happy hump day. 10 inches of snow in Minnesota. That's awesome. That's the best. We lost a section of fence. Oh my God. Dodged the tornado bullet in the middle of Georgia. Lots of rain. The winds were heavy last night in New Orleans. I know I heard Fat Tuesday. That's right, right? Fat Tuesday. They were talking about it on the news yesterday, worried about what was going to happen yesterday. Okay. I just want to give everybody a minute to get in. Y'all are here. I can quit making small talk. A couple of things here. One thing that we have gotten a lot of questions about, I just want to make sure everybody knows we are doing something. If you follow Corinne on her socials, her public socials, we are doing something called the Overeating Fix. It's what it's called. Let me tell you what it is. It is a video drop from Corinne every day for 5 days. There is also calls with the Overeating Fix. It is not a free workshop. It is a $19 workshop. Now, listen what I'm going to tell you. We know y'all don't want to miss a thing that comes out of Corinne's damn mouth, and neither do we. So, we have put the videos on the website. I am going to, Cheryl's in upstate South Carolina. Me too. Raquel in the house. I'm in the house. I'm Raquel. So, I just put that in the chat. It's on your website. We gave you the videos. Now, the calls that she will be doing are to sell the membership. It's not gonna be like big old teaching moment and lots of mic drops. It's gonna be here's why you need to be an OBS woman. And guess what? Y'all are already no BS women. You don't need to hear that. We don't need to convince you to become a part of no BS, because here you are. The new, it's not even new. I'm saying the new content. The videos she recorded for this workshop are basically stripped down versions of what you have in No BS. But if you want them, we have given them to you. You get way more inside the membership, but we've given you the videos because we know you like the videos. There is no need to pay the $19 and be on the calls to hear about how to be a good No BS woman. And here we really want you to join. So, if you want to watch the videos, go watch the videos. I'm posting them again for you. We gave them to you ahead of time. So, make sure that you go check those out if you want to, but you don't have to pay the $19 to join a Facebook group where we're trying to convince them to join the membership the whole week and attend a call where we're trying to get them to join the membership. So, but you, anything that's new-ish, it's not new. She recorded videos of, like, I'm telling y'all, you'll be like, this is like kindergarten up in here. Y'all already have everything in those videos, but in more in depth and with worksheets and all kind of bullshit, inside the membership. So I don't want you to feel like you're missing anything. And y'all, I mean, you're gonna lose your weight in OBS. They don't have the coaches over there. They don't have ass coaches over there. They're in the cold, dark streets of weight loss, trying to find a home. Y'all already have a home. And you've got me, and you've got Lisa, and you've got Betsy, and Lizzie, and Kathy, and Mish, and Ashley, and Christy. You got all of us, and we're all over y'all. So you got us. I got you, babe. We already got each other. Let's talk about journaling. How the hell is journaling going to help me lose weight? So I've been thinking about this because journaling is not like a sexy, it's not like self-care. It is self-care, but you know what I mean? Like you can sexy up some of that stuff. But I was thinking about ways to kind of describe how journaling is going to help you lose weight. And I think a lot of times when I first joined OBS, my biggest misconception was if to be a journaler, I had to have a diary. And with that little, the little key that you'd lose at Christmas after about 5 minutes, or you would have to keep it attached to the diary, in which case anybody could read your damn diary. And then what we would do is we would I would this was definitely me. I would get a diary in on Christmas. My mama would give me one with a little key. And then I would think this year it's going to be different because I was not. Corinne always talks about she was a journaler. I never was. And then I was remembering, like, whenever I moved out of my mama's house, I found the 10 diaries that I had had. And I said, I like had to break it open because who knew where a damn key was. And then on the very first page, it still made noise when I opened it up, because I'd never used it. And it would say, December 25th, 1984, MJ Stigall, because that was my main name. And then it'd be nothing else in the whole fucking book. That was it. I got that far. I'd put the date and my name and then nothing else. And so I thought when Corinne said journaling and different things, I thought that's what I'm gonna do. I got to go to the dollar store or the Walmart and I got to get me the little with the key and the no. That's not what it is. And what I quickly found out was journaling, to me, I realized is so many different things. So have y'all ever had like a dream? I do this all the time. And then you wake up and you're like, oh, I gotta remember that. Like, oh, I better not forget that. Oh, I gotta do that tomorrow. And then you can't even get back to sleep because it's just spinning, 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 spinning in your head all the time. And then you can't get it out. And then you can't sleep. And then you're like, oh God, what was it? I was supposed to remember something. And then you drift off and be like, oh crap, what was it? I gotta remember. And as soon as you like, even if you just get up and write it down, you go right back to sleep like a baby. Because your brain is not working so hard to work through something or to remember something or to make sure you don't forget something. So that would be journaling, writing down one sentence. That's it. Also, we gave you an example in the newsletter this week about somebody who draws. And that is her journaling. And she actually sent me, she called it happy mail. I have a whole envelope of her amazing drawings. She's ripped it out of her journals and sent them to me. And they're gorgeous. And she does this instead of eating. Look at that. She drew that. Andra did that. Look how beautiful that is. That is journaling to her. Journaling to me, a lot of times. Oh, you should sit. There's one in here of a Christmas tree. I'm gonna frame that son of a bitch for Christmas. I'm just telling you, they're beautiful. Journaling to me right now, it's time. I've got projects. I manage people. I have a lot of balls in the air. Lots of balls. There are balls and they are in the air. And then I'm worried about vacation. And then I've got children all over the place and I need to go see them. And when is the ring ceremony at Clemson? And when does my daughter take the dental entrance exam? And then when does this happen? And when does that? So it's not just me, it's everybody else. Journaling for me is putting something on a calendar. Because when I put it on a calendar, every time I'm like, when was that? I'm like, girl, you got it. It's already on your calendar. And it helps calm my nerves. And I can put all of those thoughts to rest so I can focus on whatever matters. So for me, a big journaling right now is just putting shit on a calendar. If I put it on a calendar, that does more for me than writing 12 pages because that is where most of my worry and anxiety comes from right now. Something falling through the cracks for y'all. That's my biggest fear. And then second biggest fear, something falling through the cracks for my kids. And just putting it on a calendar helps me. When I journal, typically it's not Dear Diary. It is like Corinne talked about our meeting last week that we went to. And she said everybody left happy. I left happy. I was happy. I got to hang out with Lisa and some other folks and stuff, but there were a couple of days that were not fun. They weren't fun. I wouldn't say I enjoyed it. Let's It's not fun. A couple of days, my ass was on the hot seat. And when I got back to the hotel, for me, I make a list of shit that comes to my mind. We used to call it a brain dump. And seriously, that is the journaling that I use. I rarely sit down and write. And then my mama said, and then I said, and then she did. I don't do that. So I came home to my hotel that last week when I was in Nashville. And I make sure I fill up every line on the paper. Whatever comes to mind. You first on my line, at my list every time I'm at these meetings. Corinne hates me. That's my first thought every time. I need to call home. I should check in on my kids. I don't know why I'm doing this job. I suck. I hope Mike let the dog out. Wonder if the cats need food at home. Wonder where we're going to go for dinner tonight. I need to get back downstairs. Like every thought that comes through my head. Every thought that comes through my head. And then I can look down those thoughts and be like, that's not true. That's not, he takes care of that dog. The dog, he ain't gonna let the dog pee in the house. You'll be all right. Sure, shoot your kids a quick text. Whatever it is. And I can look through that. Because I will tell you, when you're losing weight, if your brain is crowded with, I need to do this. Wonder about that. Where does food lie on your list? And thinking about your future, thinking about, you want your brain to remind you to stop it enough. But when you're catastrophizing that Corinne hates you, I know she doesn't hate me, but like when that's running through your head, I'm not thinking about, am I hungry? But once I put it on paper, I'm like, that's bullshit. Whatever, MJ. It frees me up to think about what I really need to be focused on, which is weight loss. The other thing that it helps you do that I found, and this is my experience, people get so many different things out of journaling and writing. Whenever I'm saying journaling, whether it's, like Andra drawing pictures or me putting something on my calendar or you writing a Dear Diary post or you going with a journal prompt, like no matter what journaling looks like to you, the other thing it helps me do is to separate fact from thought. Separate fact from thought. So Corinne hates me. In my head, it felt true. After the meeting, it felt true. But then when I see it on paper, I'm like, girl, that's a thought. That is just a thought. That is not true. Or I bet Mike's not letting the dog out. That's not true. Girl, you know he is. He don't want to come home and clean up poop in the house. Of course he's going home to let the dog out. Whatever it is looking at your list and saying, is this true or not? And that is enough to calm your nerves. That is enough to slow your brain down enough to get all of those thoughts out of your head and onto a sheet of paper. And the final thing that it does is, I will just say this. I say I don't really journal like, Dear Diary kind of journaling, but I do every once in a while. And a lot of times when you just sit and write down stuff, I found Corinne right after my grandmother passed away, and she was my life. She raised me, my sweet Susie. I have a tattoo of her signature on my body. She raised me from when I was three, and I loved her. She's my heart, still is. I love her to death. Like that's my person. And I was missing her terribly, like terribly. And I joined OBS and I was like meeting all these people and doing all these amazing things. And I got it stuck in my head that I did not want to know anybody that didn't know her. I was like, I don't want to meet anybody new because they won't ever be able to relate to me if they didn't know her. There's no way. I had to go on medication. I was a wreck and I was joining OBS and I wanted to be a part of the community, but I was like, I can't because if they did not know Susie. And if they didn't know Susie, then I don't want to know them because she's my life. And I can't imagine meeting somebody and them never knowing her. So one day I was actually writing about it on a sheet of paper. And after I was done, I went back and read it. And I don't even, y'all, I don't remember writing it. Like, I just started writing about her and how much I loved her and how much I missed her and how my life was never going to be the same and about how I didn't want to live in a world without her and all this other stuff. And right there in the middle of a paragraph, it said, I said, I wrote, I don't remember it. I still do not remember it. But I wrote down just as I was like letting it all out, letting it all out. I wrote down, as long as you are alive, everybody that meets you has met her because you are who you are because of who she was. And I will tell y'all, I never took medicine after that. I went both feet in this community. I lost all of my weight. And I will tell you, it was because of that sentence. And I will never forget how I felt when I read it. Never. I was hanging on to so much hurt and pain. And my brain solved it for me on a piece of paper. And that is what it will do for you. Had it not been for that day, and had it not been for that sentence, I do not think I would be here with you right now. And I am telling you, try it. Try it and see what it can do for you. And I am not a regular journaler. Like I said, mostly it's my calendar that I rely on. But if you need it, write it down. And I've seen some of you say, like, you know, like people read your journals when you were younger, and that's terrible. But you're older now, and you have control of your journal. Nobody has to read it, and you can tear it up. The minute you're done, do it on paper. Rip that shit in a million pieces. Throw it away. Throw it away. But get it out. Get it out. Catch those old shitties, the things you say about yourself, the way you put yourself down, the things that just aren't true about you. And then who knows? Maybe you'll be like me and you'll uncover a truth on a piece of paper just because you gave it a chance. All right, enough about that. Just write in cursive. Nikki, that's a child of the 80s right there. Writing in cursive in our secret 40s and 50s spy. That's our code. That we look back at the Egyptians and they've got the hieroglyphics and we gotta figure it all out. That's what's gonna happen one day when they find our old writings, and they'll have to like hire an entire team to figure out this craziness called cursive. Secret penmanship. That's like the for the children, the people that were born, like, you know, who are in their 40s and 50s now and older, that's like our secret language. If we ever like have to take over a country, we'll just write everything in cursive. Yeah, I write in cursive. You can lock iNotes. Yeah, for sure. All right. Yeah. Oh my God, throw it away. I know, right? Throw it away. The goal is not to go back and lament over it 6, 8 months later. I don't know where that journal is, but it was so powerful, that sentence. I know exactly what I wrote. I don't need the piece of paper. And the goal is to get it out of here so that you can rest, so that you can focus on what is so important to you. That's what the goal of it is. It's not to go back, you know, in 4 years and look. It is just to get it out on paper. All right. Do you save your thoughts? I find I never go back and read what I don't save my thoughts. No. Let's see. Oh my God, the Smithsonian already sent out a request for volunteers who can read cursive because the young employees can't read it. That is crazy to me. Ooh. All right, questions. Now, we're going to use the rest of this time to answer questions. The questions can be about anything. Oh, Michelle said, it's been 20 years today since my son passed away. I always write something to him on this day. What an amazing tribute to your son. And, you know, my heart goes out to you, but you are, you know, I know it's a hard day for you, Michelle, but, you know, I just have to say, I just so admire that. I love that. And then Susan goes back to read her journals. I think that's fine. If you want to, save them. If you're like me and you don't save shit, then throw it away. Throw it away. All right. We're going to answer questions. Answer questions about journaling. We're going to answer questions about doable hunger. We're going to answer questions about overeating. We're going to answer questions about relationships, about whatever you want to ask. It is now the time. The floor is open for questions. If you are having a hard time getting started, maybe you're new. Let's see. Danielle said, do we have specific prompts for this month or should we just journal? Maureen, Lisa will post some links in here for you. We have something called This Month in No BS. So there's some stuff over there. So you can absolutely use that, or you can just write. Or if you don't want to write, if you want to draw pictures, or if you want a calendar, that's fine too. And if you're like, I don't know if I'm ready to get into journaling, that quick start guide that you're filling out every day with what did you eat and were you hungry and enough, that's journaling too. Your planner is journaling. So if that's all you're ready for, that's all you need to do. Let's see. All right. Any questions? I'd like to use journaling to help me stop nighttime drinking, but not sure where to start. Genia, I think that's how you say your name. It's a great question. So for nighttime eating, nighttime drinking, nighttime snacking, one good thing is that you can do, and I did this when I used to be a nighttime eater bad back in the day. You know, I used to eat night and I used to drink every night. But one good thing that you can do, a lot of times we talk about using the pause. So Corinne used to teach that. Corinne used to be a little, I know y'all can't believe this, but she used to even be more feisty back in the day when I joined. And I'll never forget somebody got on a call. I mean, this is like 2018, 17, 18. Got on a call, was like, you know, I can't figure out what my thoughts are at night. Can't figure out why I'm doing this thing. She said, quit feeding yourself and you'll figure it out. And I was like, oh my God. So what I used to do, and what is a really good thing, just a great way to start journaling, is if you want to drink at night or you want to eat at night, let's say that typically you have your snack or your glass of wine at 6:30. So what you could do is say, tonight I am not going to do that until 7. Just not 7 o'clock. For 30 minutes though, what you will have with you is a pen and a piece of paper. And every time a thought comes into your head, I sure could use a drink right now. Why'd I pick 30 minutes? That's so stupid. This is going to be much harder than I thought. Anything that comes into your mind, you just write it down on that sheet of paper and then go back and look through it. See if any of them are facts. See if they're thoughts. See if there's any you're like, oh, I could think this instead. You can do that. And then you make a decision. Am I going to go in and get a drink or snack or whatever it is or not? Yeah, if you got questions, please post them in the Q&A. That the chat, y'all chatty, chatty, chatty. Try that and see. Anytime that you notice that you're like, you know, wanting to snack at night or drink at night or gummy at night or whatever, just put it past 30 minutes and write down everything that comes into your mind. Journaling. I write down every day my timeline of the day. It basically doesn't have thoughts in it, just important things I do. Does this count as journaling? That's what I do. 100%. Because Trisha, here's what happens if you don't do it that way. I'm like, oh, I can't forget. Oh God, I hope I don't forget da da da. Or I better not forget. Or when was that? I can't remember. What time is that? And you're always checking your calendar because it's not written down. And then you can't focus on anything else. So having a calendar is a great way to journal. It doesn't have to have thoughts in it because the thoughts come up from not having it on the calendar. Because you know what's going to happen to your thoughts if you don't, Or if it's like, oh my God, wonder what time it was. Then you could say, Trisha, girl, it's on your calendar. You fine. You got place for everything. That's all you have to do. And then it helps you manage your thoughts about not having enough time or about missing an event or about not being able to make it to something or being late for something. I find that I'm doing well planning my meals and snacks, but my mind keeps telling me I should reduce the number of snacks. I feel like if I do, my body will freak out and I will lose control and start overeating again. What do you think? I love this question, Rachel. Okay, so here's the thing. Why don't you keep planning your snacks, but check in if you're hungry? Check in if you're hungry. If you're not, set a timer for 30 minutes. Keep the snack with you. Because a lot of times, probably what happened is, if I had a guess, there was a time in your life when you had to starve yourself because of a diet. And so now you have a fear of getting hungry. If I don't have it, whatever. If I miss my time, my snack time, then I don't get to eat it, which is not true. Here's the truth. If you're not hungry when you plan the snack, you can have it the minute you get hungry. Nobody's taking it away. You don't have to miss it. You don't have to skip it. You don't have to whatever. And fun fact, if it's a snack that you love and you're like, well, damn, it's dinner now and I'm not hungry, eat the snack instead of the dinner if it sounds better to you. Because remember, you can mix and match stuff on your plan that you've got written down. So if you've got a morning snack plan that you love, I used to love apples and peanut butter. I haven't done that in a long time. But anyway, love apples and peanut butter. If I wasn't hungry at my snack, guess what I had for lunch? Apples and peanut butter. That sandwich, I can save it to tomorrow if I want to. I guess I could have saved the apples and peanut butter, but I wanted that. So I would just keep my sandwich till later. Or if I got hungry in the middle of the day, I'd eat half the sandwich. That was my lunch. It's like turning all the rules of what is lunch, what is a snack, what is dinner on its head? And then just think about your plan as your menu. And when you get hungry, you look at the menu and you're like, here and here, I'm gonna do this. And that is how you can start to turn the temperature down on being nervous about getting hungry. And it is all about reminding yourself, I am not taking away food anymore. You don't need to freak out. Because if you get hungry, guess what? You eat it. You haven't missed a window. You're not going to run out of points. You're not going to run out of calories. You're not going to run out of whatever it is you counted. If you get hungry, just eat it. That's it. And start to remind yourself of that. Start to unwind some of those rules about, well, if I miss my snack, then I have to wait till dinner. No, you don't. You just need to wait till you're hungry. Great question, though. I can't seem to really get started. This is Maria and get momentum. I joined 2 years ago, haven't lost weight, and can't get consistent with any of the four basic except sleep, which I already had. Girl, the older I get, the easier sleep gets now that I'm out of the night sweats. Here's what I want you to do, Maria. I want you to go back to the No BS Weight Loss course, and I want you to download that quick start guide. Okay. In there, you're going to find 30 days of, you just go back at the end of the day and write, what did I eat? You write it down at the end. And then, did I eat when I was hungry and stop it enough? That's it. So you've got consistency in being in the membership because here you are. But I want you to write that thing down. Just get awareness and then start with water. Because here's the other thing, Maria. Momentum ain't coming. So often we're like, I'm going to go to every call and I'm going to listen to every course, and MJ or Corinne or Lisa or Lizzie or somebody is going to say a word, like a word from the spirit, and it's going to lightning bolt me. And then all of a sudden, there will be motivation and I'll be ready to go. I can't go till I get the motivation. That is not how life works ever in anything. It's just not. I'm going on a trip this weekend. I'll be gone for 2 weeks from my house. I ain't very motivated to go. Guess what I'm not motivated to do? Pack. Not at all. I don't want to pack. I did make it to the I did my laundry yesterday, which is a start, but I keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. I don't want to do it. I hate to pack. I don't know what to pack. I know some stuff. Anyway, guess what I'm going to have to do? I have it on my calendar tomorrow night to pack. And I'm not going to want to. And I'm going to come up with every excuse in the book. And I want it to be packed by now, but I'm not. But guess what's going to happen? When I get in there and I start going through my closet, I'm like, I know I want to take this. I know I want to take that. I'm going to start to feel motivated to finish, but it ain't coming until I get started. Motivation does not come before action. Action comes before motivation. That's the only way it works. You got to take a few steps and then a few steps. Beget a few steps, beget a few steps. You have to get going first. If we're sitting around waiting on motivation to fall like a brick on our head, it's not coming. You got to go out and get it. You got to go out and get it. You earn motivation through action. Because that's the thing. I mean, I don't want to plan every day. I really don't. But I do it because it's who I want to be. Who do you want to be? Do you want to be somebody who waits for hunger? You got to go out there and get it. And the more you do it, the easier it is. Writing a plan. The more you do it, the easier it is. Getting your water. Now I get thirsty. And it reminds me, because now I'm so used to drinking enough water that now my body is like, bitch, where's my water? But at first, I was choking down water because I knew I had to have it. I needed it. I'm in the same place with protein right now. Me and that damn osteoporosis. I got to increase my protein. I like carbs. And I was protein short, and I'm really having to focus, pay attention. Plan better, add extra protein to shit. And right now it feels like a chore. But I know the more I do it, the easier it will get. But I'm a person who wants to eat more protein. So I have got to work to become that person. And then I'm sure once I get my another bone scan and it's better and all that other stuff, I'm be like, woohoo, protein for the win. And then the motivation is gonna come. I can't wait on it. My health can't wait on it. My bones can't wait on it. Your life cannot wait on motivation. The people who love you, who are waiting on you to lose this weight, cannot wait on motivation to fall from the sky. Y'all, in this membership, you cannot wait for me to feel motivated to come to work. Your kids cannot wait for you to just sit around and feel motivated to take them to ball practice. Your life is waiting on you to do something, and motivation will come. But you got a lot of people in your life that are like, let's just get into action and see if motivation comes. All right, that was a high horse right there. Darn, I didn't mean to go off on that tangent. I have become more concerned lately about my husband's drinking, and I can tell that I'm anxious about it. Sometimes journaling what things I can control and not helps. And sometimes I tell myself I'm not giving my weight loss to him. Girl, that's my famous line, right, honey? My mama done hung up on me 2 days in a row, and I ain't giving her my damn weight loss neither. But other times, the anxiety of wondering if he is drinking too much or not just gets to me, and I use food to soothe. I am safe as he isn't abusive in any way. Any tips? Yes, I love this. So you said you write down things that are in your control, and let's see. Sometimes I journaling what things I can control and not helps. And I would just do more of that. I want you to think about before you started thinking about what things were in your control and not, or telling yourself that you were not going to give away your weight loss to him. You were probably overeating over it to soothe all the time. And I bet now you've noticed a decrease in that amount of time. Remember, we talk about phases of change and no BS. So probably like 100% of the time you were eating over it. Now you might be at that 80-20 or 60-40 spot. So you're still eating over it, but it is getting better. Probably that is happening. So then you just want more of that. And then ask yourself, how can I help him? Right? How can I help him? And maybe how you can help him is bringing him the alcohol so that he's not in the car. Keep him safe. My dad was an alcoholic, and when he had brain tumor, and my sister was taking care of him, and he wanted beer, and his sister said she wouldn't bring it to him. He had brain tumor. He's dying. And I was like, do you really want him to be in like withdrawals and have a, like, he's got a stage 4, like he's eat up with cancer. So me and my husband snuck beer to him for the last little bit till he went into a coma. But like, maybe that is how you help him. That's how we helped my dad. How can you help him? Just, you could be an encourager to him. Somebody said, go to Al-Anon. I've done Al-Anon in the past. It's a great place to go to get support from other people who are dealing with the same thing. But I think you're absolutely on the right track. So here's what you want to tell yourself. I am working on not soothing myself with food. Sometimes I still do. And that's okay. Because sometimes it gets a lot for me, and that's all I know. But before I soothe myself, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to write about what's in my control right now. And if I still want to eat, that is fine. And that's what we tell our bingers too. Like if you are in the binge group, I still binge sometimes, and that's okay. I still soothe myself with food sometimes, and that's okay. Because that was the only tool you had for a really long time. Sometimes it gets to be a big deal, and you still do. Sometimes I still soothe myself with food. It's a lot less than it was, but I still do that sometimes. And that's okay. Because guess what? Normal eaters sometimes soothe themselves with food. We've all watched like Sex and the City and shit, or those, 80s breakup rom-coms. What do they do when they get broken up with? They get the ice cream, right? One big old spoon, the ice cream, they sit there with it. They're soothing themselves with food. And sometimes people do that. But I bet you, if you look, it is getting better. It is getting less amount of times that you're soothing yourself with food. So I think you're doing exactly all the right things. Charlotte, oh no, Carlotta. I see, I'm near Charlotte. So every time I see something looks like that, I say Charlotte. I discovered that I just don't allow myself to think anything when I'm overeating or eating off plan. Is there something I can do to be more aware? I've tried sticky notes and I just ignore them. Yes, you have to look at why you're going there in the first place. So the time to journal and the time to uncover your thoughts is not in the middle of an overeat. Because like you said, I love this question. Because a lot of times we learn from Kathy. And how to feel the hard stuff without overeating, our brain goes offline and we don't have access to our thoughts in those moments. Lisa, please tell Kathy I brought that up and I did a really good job. It's how we all work. We just shut ourselves off. So afterwards, you want to start afterwards and say, what was I thinking when I overate? Take a guess. Take a guess. It's probably from a bad day, or you're mad at somebody, or whatever it is. And then you start to work on that in order to stop the overeating. You're not going to solve for it in the middle of it. And then what you'll notice is, like afterwards, you're going to start to, examine it and see what was going on. And then you'll be like, oh my God. It was Tuesdays, because that was my day. Because Tuesdays, I got meetings all day long. And I would like be so stressed in the evenings. I was like, rah, rah, rah. I did that for a while. So I started trying to figure out what was going on. It was like, it was Tuesday. I'm stressed. I keep thinking there's too much to do. I'm never going to figure this out, whatever. And then my brain was so fried by like 5:30. I would just be like, I can't think anymore. But you can't think anymore. I'm done. Stick a fork in me. I'm done. And so I started working on it on Wednesdays, about Tuesdays. And then what happened was I was like, oh my God, I'm just so overwhelmed and stressed. So I was like, what could I do to help that stress? And honestly, I make a list now every Tuesday night of all the shit that got, that I got on my plate on Tuesday. So I don't forget anything. I have a list whenever I sit down to work on Wednesday. That helped turn my stress down a lot. So I was less likely to just run into the kitchen. So now, because I assessed it afterwards, that's where it starts when you notice your brain is going offline during an eat like that. That's a great question. Oh, thank you, Kathy Hartman. She said I'm doing a good job. If I missed anything, post it in the chat. I want to start again. Been a member for a while, but not active for a few months. Where's the best place to start? Girl, start at the beginning of that yellow brick road. Start with an OBS quick start. How do I keep the plan front of mind? I tend to legit forget. I'm menopausal. It's easy to forget stuff, girl. I know. Here's the thing, Sally. You're not starting again. And I'm going to tell you why. The men in black with them glasses, Will Smith did not come to your house with them glasses and make you forget everything. You figured out how to get on this call. You know the basics, girl. You know them basics. Water, sleep, basic human needs now we call them. Planning, doable hunger, all the things. You know them. Your brain has not been erased. You are not starting over. You're starting with knowledge. Okay. So first there's that. 'Cause a lot of times whenever you say starting over, it feels very defeated and whatever. You're already here with us and you already have a great base of knowledge. You've come to calls, so you know a lot of shit. So let's start there. Then it's always good. I do not care if you are a no BS whiz and you plan every day and do all this other stuff. It is so good to go back through the course from time to time. That's not a one and done deal. It is amazing. I hear new shit every time I go through it. Every time. And I'm an avid listener to the No BS Weight Loss course. And I hear stuff new all the time. So there's that. Like everybody needs to be going back through it, a few times a year. Just listen to it. And now it's shorter, which is amazing. So start with that quick start guide. Give yourself permission to be a beginner. Give yourself permission to be a beginner. To be like, she's changed a lot of shit, which she has. The weight loss course has changed a lot since probably the last time you went through it. I'm gonna go through and I'm gonna see all the wisdom that Corinne has now imparted amongst me. I'm gonna go through that quick start guide. I might like that better than a planner. I don't know. And then, as far as for any of y'all who are like not planning or not drinking your water, you have got to have external reminders. You can't say, I've decided I want to plan from today and forevermore. I'm going to be a planner. And then just go about your life and then expect that tomorrow your brain is going to be like, MJ, remember yesterday you told me you wanted to be a planner? Now is a good time to do it. No. It has not done it enough to put it on a habit loop. So you've got to put the planner wherever you know you're going to be. Put it beside your coffee pot. Put it like beside the chair that you drink coffee at every morning. Put it on your, like mine stays on my desk because I do it right before work every day. And I come here every day. So here I am. And so, like, that's the sort of places you want to put it. If you do it at night, like before you go to bed, because a lot of people do it at night, stick it on your pillow so that when you go get in the bed, or if you do it at night, like sitting in your favorite recliner to relax, put it there. Keep it in front of your mind so that you do remember. And the more you do it, remember, the easier it gets. And then it gets put, because your brain loves to put stuff on a habit, make it automatic. But you have to do it enough to make it automatic. It ain't gonna, you're just not gonna make a decree out loud and then all of a sudden it's automatic. You have to do it enough times that your brain is like, huh, she's been doing this every day for like a month. I think this is important. Maybe I should start reminding her. She's been doing it a while. Huh, maybe I should put this on it. And then it will. And then you'll be like, something's missing. I forgot some. Oh shit, I forgot the plan. And you go write your plan. That's how it works. It's not just gonna be like, remember you told me yesterday you want a plan? Maybe you should. It's not gonna do that. You have to do it so that your brain gets enough reps in to remind you. So that's how you start. What about the thought, I'll just eat it now and get it over with, not hungry, but it will not hungry, but eat it to be done. Here's the thing. You gotta have a conversation with yourself. That's your old shitty thought about eating. If I eat it, I'm gonna eat it to be done, and I'll also be done with my weight loss for today. Is that really what I want? Like, that's MJ's inside voice, because me and Corinne sound a lot alike, like inside. And that's motivating to me. And if that sounds motivating to you, then you can borrow that. What else am I gonna be? I'm gonna be done with this, Twinkie. I'm also gonna be done with feeling proud of myself at the end of the night. I'm gonna be done with weight loss for today. I'm gonna be done with keeping promises to myself today. Is this Twinkie worth the trade-off? That can be a conversation, or it could be, you know what? I know how else I can be done with it. I can just throw it away. It is not worth giving away my weight loss today. There's more than one way to be done with something. I can eat it all, or I can throw it in the trash. I can be done with it that way too. And one of those ways gets me closer to my weight loss goal, and one of them takes me further away. What do I want right now? But all of those are like trying on shoes. Like all of those thoughts I just gave you, they're like trying on, you try them on, you're like, damn, MJ's harsh. I don't like that. Then that's not your thought. And then what you do is you take it to ask coaches, and then you're like, okay, I've tried on, here are the thoughts I've tried on. Here's my old shitty thought. I've tried this thought, this thought, this thought, this thought. None of those are working. They feel kind of harsh. They're MJ's thoughts and they feel a little harsh to me. Do you have any other suggestions? And then you might get lucky and get a sweet coach like Kathy or Mish or Ashley, really anybody but me. Anyway. And you'll get kinder, gentler thoughts to think. Just try them all on. Or go in the Facebook group. It's another great place. Here's what I keep thinking. For anybody who's ever thought this, what thought worked for you in the moment? But it's like trying on shoes. And what thought works for me, or what thought works for Kathy or Lisa or whatever, might not work for you. Doesn't feel authentic, doesn't feel like you. And maybe you can take some of what I just said and maybe be like, that didn't feel really good, but this feels pretty good. And try that thought on and see what works for you. But it is just reminding yourself of everything else you're going to be done with. Yeah, I'm gonna be done with this one thing, but here's all the other stuff I'm gonna be done with. Sophie said, I started with the journaling course. I understand that we might feel unnecessarily stressed about how we feel about our feelings, and that we probably learned not to validate our feelings when we were little. Yes, honey, I'll give you something to cry about. How many of y'all heard that from your mamas? You want to cry? I'll give you something to cry about. I didn't hear that. I heard that once. I heard it a lot, honey. Let's see. On the other hand, we can't not function. Yeah. There needs to be some kind of balance between experiencing our emotions and taking care of ourselves and getting our work done, look after our family's pets. What can say myself as an aim with overall journaling? Awareness, but also feeling. I will tell you, Sophie, I am not a feeling person. I just don't. I have feelings, but I'm good at turning them off until I'm ready to feel them. I can power through. Kathy's probably like, girl, are you still feeling them? I know they're still there. But I'm good with powering through and still feeling things. So find a time. That's one reason that it's really good to have a time to kind of sit down. For me, it's when I'm planning. Anything I need to write down or kind of work through, that's when I do it. It's quiet, it's safe. it's just a good time for me to, write down anything that's bothering me. And at that time, I feel like I could kind of let it go. I mean, I'm not in the middle of like, work or whatever, and then just have a come apart. I mean, because yeah, I've got work to do, I've got kids, I've got a life, I've got things I gotta go do and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm very much about having a time. Corinne and Kathy did like the worry bucket. There's an oldie but a goodie podcast about the worry bucket. And Kathy worried a lot. And so she gave herself, how long was it? Like 10 minutes? Like on the ride home, she was allowed to worry. And then any other time that she was worried, she would just put that worry in the worry bucket because you got shit to, got a life to live. So then her time was in the car that she, was allowed herself to worry. Any other time it went in the worry bucket. And so, yes, there are time, 30 minutes. When I start to worry, I'd tell myself, not yet. Got to put it in the worry bucket. You got 30 minutes that's coming your way. You worry all you want. So for a lot of us, I think that's what we do. I've not met, my daughter got married. Our relationship changed. Like, she got married. Now I'm not her person anymore. It bothers me. And had a hard time with that. And so I did a lot of work on that for a while. And whenever I was on the phone with her and something would come up and I would feel hurt, because I'm like, why didn't you tell me? And she'd be like, oh, I forgot. Or I told Kyle. I'm like, what about me? I'm your mama. And I would put that in my bucket. And then whenever I had time, I would write about it and decide what I wanted to do about it and how I want to feel about it and how grateful I am that she has somebody. Powering through emotions is like tabling them for later. If you do, oh, Kathy Hartman, if you do that, it's fine. Just pull them off the table before you eat over them. Yep, that's what I am, Kathy. I'm a tabler. I table them. I say I push them down. I really do table them. That's so good. I love the idea of planning or thinking about a repertoire of how to live an emotion. As Corinne said, socks, if someone likes to throw stuff on when angry, what can I plan for anxiety? I think I can't think of something. I want to be someone who validates and accepts all kinds of emotions at the time they arise. I think. But Sophie, it's like you can validate them and acknowledge them, but you don't have to, dig deep into them. You can say, I feel you, anxiety. You could breathe. Kathy, please jump in if I'm doing this wrong. You can breathe through them and say, I feel you. I acknowledge you. I know you're here because. And then I will work through you later, but I see that you're here. I see that you're here. And Coach Judith, we used to have a Coach Judith, and she used to say, I will put you in the passenger seat. She had terrible anxiety. And she was like, it's there. I just don't let it drive. I don't give it the keys to the car. I put it in the passenger seat. I buckle it all in nice and snug, and it gets to ride along with me. And I see it. Now I'm like, oh, hey, here, you're still here. Let's go. We got things to do. I see you, though. We're still here together. And I like that example a lot. Like, you just buckle it up in the passenger seat and you just let it come right along with you. Kathy said, normalizing your anxiety. I'm reading for the folks who might be listening on the podcast. Normalizing your anxiety is a really kind thing to do, and it allows it to be there and doesn't make it a problem. Yes. Of course, I'm anxious. I always get anxious over that. I'll work on this when I'm ready. Very good. Yes. Just buckle it up in the passenger seat. Be like, I'll get you out later and we'll work it through. I'm just not gonna let you drive. Last night I was watching a ball game and got so caught up in it. And it went into second over t two overtimes, and I suddenly decided that me eating popcorn would help them. Net, that's funny. Alas, it did not. Usually doesn't, Annette. What could I have done to slow that down? I love that. So a lot of people use like the kitchen is closed at a certain point. We've even had people make signs that the kitchen is closed to remind them when they go back in, like it's over. And then if you see that sign, you would know, like, is this really going to help them in their second overtime? But that is when that pause comes in. That is when that pause comes in. So whatever you need to put in place to pause. The other thing you can do is look at it now. So last night you overate. It's not a failure, it's a learning opportunity. So let's look at everything that happened. You were up late, probably tired. If I had a guess, probably so. And it was in second overtime. That's a big deal. A lot of stress going on over there. It was a ball game. Probably one of your favorite teams that you're rooting for was on there, right? Which you want them to win for sure. So now we get to decide. Next time there is a ball game late at night, I might want to eat if it gets intense. And here's what I'm going to do instead. Because in the moment, it's very difficult. That's what we've been talking about. That's why overeating and, eating off plan and all that kind of stuff, it's not a problem. It's not like something to beat yourself over from. It's something to learn from. So now you have a great example of the next time this happened, the next time I find myself in this situation, tired in overtime, trying to pull my team through, what do I want to do instead? Probably going to want to eat because that's what I've noticed I do. So what do I want to do instead? When your rational brain is online, when your thinking brain is online, not when you're tired and exhausted and you're jumping up and down off the couch, like what the fuck are you thinking? Like that's a hard time to be like, okay, are you hungry? Is this really going to help them with whatever? Time to go back and examine it with that, scientist lab coat on and see what you want to do differently next time. Luann said she always asks the question, exactly how much popcorn or how many cookies will I need to eat to help them score? And that causes a pause to see how that sounds. Yes. Like how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop? How many people are old? If y'all write in cursive, you know what I'm talking about. How many popcorn, how much cookies will it take to make the Gamecock score? A lot. They probably ain't gonna score anyway. Yeah, it's three. I know. See, I love y'all are my people. Anonymous said, please repeat. Yeah, three licks and then you bite it. Yes, everybody knows. Please repeat what you said about if you have an urge to drink or snack or whatever at night, wait 30 minutes. I said, keep a notebook with you and then write down any thought that comes up during the pause that you create. And those are the thoughts that you have that lead you to that snack or that drink or whatever it is at night. And then you go look at them and then you can decide. And if you want to have the snack or you want to whatever, go ahead. But just starting to get aware of the thoughts that get you there. Because a lot of times what happens is we have some thoughts, but we just automatically, because we've been doing it for so long, we just walk in and grab the snack, right? Because and we're like, because what's happened? We've done it so often, our brain is like, we need to go get that snack because she's done it so many times. That must be very important for her. She does it so often. We should go do that because, she does it every night and she's been doing it every night. So we got to remind her. We don't want her to forget. And so that's what happens. So when you create that pause, your brain is like, wait a minute, what's wrong here? We just usually walk in there and then it starts to throw up all the old shitties because it wants to complete the habit that you've been doing for a really long time. And so when you take that pause and you write them all down, that's everything your brain has told you to get you in that kitchen. My husband's health is becoming challenging with his cancer. I'm sorry, Anonymous. I find myself struggling to physically do anything with no BS. I listen to replays and mentally make my food plans, protein, veggie, starch at each meal. I find myself thinking I'm not doing the things right. I'm struggling to self-care. Any advice to redirect my brain? I constantly remind myself if I'm not okay, then I can't help my husband or my kids. They need me. I need me. I'm struggling. Okay. Anonymous, first of all, you said, I'm not doing things right. So, probably what is happening is you are comparing this version of you who is caring for your husband with cancer to the version of you that was not. Maybe that version of you had times to hop on calls and write her plans every day and, take a long bath and all of that kind of stuff. Maybe that version of you had all that time, but this version doesn't. So what was right for her is not right for you right now. And that's okay, right? So you have to decide, what does right look like for me right now? With all of these things going on, what does self-care look like for me right now? This is self-care. You're on a call. You asked a question. Amazing self-care. You said, you listen to replays and you mentally make your food plans. Self-care. You're like, you know what? I am going to take care of him, but I'm at least going to keep no BS in my ear right now because it matters. It matters. And it reminds me that I still have goals. Yes, I'm taking care of my husband, but I still got goals. And looking, getting towards those goals and the path that I'm going to take to get to those goals might look different than it looked 3, 4, 5 months ago. But I'm still there. And every time I put on a replay, I'm reminding myself of that. That I still am important. That I still am important. And maybe it is that you do it while you're getting his medicine ready. And maybe it is that you do it while you're waiting on him to come in and out of a doctor's appointment. But every moment that you take for yourself is a self-care moment. It doesn't have to be big. What if right now, Anonymous, you're doing exactly everything you need to do? Because instead of saying it's not enough, because then you always feel that feeling of lack, like I should do more, I should do more, I should do more. What if you say, I am doing everything I can for me right now, and I'm going to take it every moment that I can? Yes, it looks different than it did before. And in the future, it's probably going to look different again. But I'm doing everything I can right now. How does that feel, Anonymous? Let's see. Carol says, I have a beautiful complexion. Thank you very much. Do you use the sauna blanket? No. Has anyone tried it? No. Well, Corinne, she uses it. She loves it. I know she loves it. I do not have one. But yeah. I thank you though. Oh, Luann said, I struggle with self-care, but I look at self-care as taking care of them because it's helping me show up for them in the best way. I love that. Let's see. Oh, this is the one, you're the one about leaving it behind. Like, I'm gonna go ahead and get it over with. She's angry after 40 years of overeating. Why can't I get that I have earned the right to leave it behind? Probably because you haven't practiced it enough. You haven't practiced it enough. You've earned the right to leave it behind. You've earned the right to lose weight. You've earned the right to be proud of yourself. You've earned the right to keep promises to yourself. You've earned a lot of rights. What else are you entitled to besides the food? You're entitled to good health. You're entitled to get on and off the floor easily as you get older. You're entitled to weight loss. List everything you're entitled to. And that little bite of food is one on a list of 100 things that you're entitled to. If you really sit down and think about what you deserve, that I deserve it thought, what else do you deserve? Make a list of everything you deserve. It's a long list. And, just because you can doesn't mean you want to, right? There's a lot of things that you can do. Could do it. It would probably feel good to do it, but you just don't want to do it. Right? The person that like sits at the fucking red light forever, you could ram into the back of them. You're not going to. My daughter, when she's talking about her husband, I forgot to tell you because of my, well, I could hang up on her. That doesn't mean I want to. I don't want, I mean, I could though. I even want to a little bit sometimes. I don't. But it's going through that list of, that's what journaling too is. Right? Go through, that's a great journaling prompt. Just make a list of everything you deserve, make a list of everything you're entitled to. Like, you could do that. As far as journaling is concerned, too. Take time and write a list of everything that you think is self-care. Get your list going. And don't make it big things. You know, just like, you know, taking care of her husband with cancer. I talk about this every time. Self-care to me is fixing my coffee the night before. I do it every day. That's taking care of me. That's self-care, and I appreciate it every day when I wake up and I smell that coffee, and I take a minute to appreciate that. Because that's the other thing about self-care. You do it. You know, I did my laundry yesterday, and I didn't leave it sitting in the dryer. Ha! Self-care, right there. I pulled everything out of the dryer. First, I didn't even turn it back on. How about that? And I didn't have to turn the washing machine back on because I had left the clothes in there for days and days. I did it all in one day. Self-care. That's self-care. How about that? How about putting your laundry away within 48 hours of getting it out of the dryer? Self-care. If you take time to give yourself credit for it. Girl, you usually wait 5, 6 days. Look at you, 2 days in, getting shit put away. You baller. It's all about how you talk about it, right? It can all be self-care. Or it could be, like, if you put your laundry away within 2 days, I mean, you usually wait 5 days, 2 days, that's better, but damn, who does that? That's some bullshit. That didn't feel like self-care, does it? No. But if you decide it is, it is. If you decide it's self-care, it's self-care. It's just how you talk about it. Yes, doing things that make life easier is self-care. Yes, 110%. I know Karen said if I do it the same day, I feel like I deserve a treat off of Amazon as a reward. Yes. Yeah. Food prep on Sunday that takes, you know, several hours. That's you taking care of yourself. There's a Thursday version of you that's going to be damn happy about it. Oh, that's good. Luann said she's been making a list at the end of every day, journaling of what I did and highlight what's making my life easier for tomorrow or even after that. What a great journal. Yes. That's what I hope y'all got from this call. It divulged into a lot of things, but journaling looks like a lot of different things. It's not a Dear Diary kind of a situation. And self-care is just how you talk about it. It's just how you talk about it. Anything can be self-care. Anything. At all. It just depends on how you talk about it. If you talk about it like an asshole, then it doesn't sound like self-care at all. It doesn't feel good, whatever. But I did do that laundry in one day. I was so proud of myself yesterday. But when I do shit like that, that's what makes it different for me. People always call me like the cheerleader, whatever. It is that I make sure I recognize when I do something different and a little bit better. I damn sure give myself credit for it. I talk to myself. I'm like, look at you, girl. Hello. Look at you figuring it out. I give myself credit for a lot of shit. A lot of shit. I toot my own horn. I pat myself on the back, even if it's only in my head. And when you do it in your head, it's not selfish. It, don't nobody even know about it. It just makes you feel better. It's just to create a better relationship with you. It's to actually finally give yourself credit for the shit that you do anyway. You can do it anyway. Why not give yourself credit for it? I gotta do my laundry. How about giving myself credit for it? I got to load the dishwasher. Why don't I give myself credit for it? I gotta clean out my car. How about whenever I throw the trash away, be like, look at you, not riding in a trash can anymore. Whoop, whoop. Like, it can all feel amazing and be you giving yourself credit for everything you do for yourself. And then we don't feel like we're missing. Maybe you don't have time to get your nails done. Maybe you don't have time or money to go get a massage. Hell, I don't. But whenever I find five or six things every day that I'm like, I so appreciate I'm doing that for myself. I am, look at me doing shit. Then I'm not missing shit. Like I was telling the new members in the first 30 days, I have a candle over here, a candle warmer in my office. And I turn it on every day and it's like, smells so good. And every once in a while, I'll catch a whiff of it. I'll be like, I'm so glad I plugged that thing in today. I just like it. Or if I walk out of my office to get water or whatever, and I come back in and I smell it, I'm like, it makes me want to come to work. And then I tell myself, hey, thank you for that candle. Smells so good in here. Self-care. All right, y'all. Yes, please do start giving yourself credit. It feels amazing. All right. Y'all have a great day. Great rest of your day. Remember the overeating fix. If you were not here, you have got the videos on the website. We gave them to you because we know you don't want to miss anything. And the calls that we will be doing with those folks is to sell the membership, but you're already in the membership. So you don't necessarily go to those calls, but we gave you all the new-ish. It's not new material. It's because they're not in the membership, right? So we can give them your stuff a little bit, like watered down. And so that's what that is. But go, if you do want to listen to the videos, they're good. Michelle is Corinne teaching shit. You know what's going to be good. So head over there and listen to them if you want to or not. Because, like I said, you got everything in the No BS Weight Loss course. And I will see y'all later. Bye, y'all.